Turn tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Chapter 15, it hadn't been too awful long ago that I preached from this same passage of Scripture. Well, guess what? Let's just face the fact. When you've been at a church 20 years, how do you not get back around the same passages over and over? It's impossible. And this one here is a gem, this particular verse. And I want us to look at it tonight. But I learned a lesson years ago. When I preach sermons, I know what to preach. I know when I preach it. And I know where I preach it. In other words, I make notes. So when somebody comes to me and they say, "Preacher, you preached that before," I can say to them, "You're not telling me something I don't already know. I can tell you not only the fact I preached it before, I can tell you when and where it was." And then I do, I mean, this has been being a little naughty, I guess. Sometimes I do like to ask, I feel urged to ask people, "Tell me, what do you remember about that sermon?" It's okay to write it down in the Bible that the preacher preached it, but what do you remember about it? So that's, to me, that's a good reason. Why we need to go back over these passages again and again, especially certain ones that are so packed with great truth that we would be wise to understand and to apply. And that one of these is what I want to read tonight. I look at verse 58 of chapter 15. Verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren," could I point out tonight that the "therefore" relates to what is there for? It relates to previous truths given. The verses above that, you know what they say. You know that this is the very portion of Scripture that we preachers invariably will read at a graveside service. We read from this resurrection chapter. Yes, it talks about death, but it talks about victory. It talks about the resurrection. It says, "O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory?" And then it says, "But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And I like to remind a grieving family as they're assembled together under the canopy at a funeral graveside service, I do like to remind them especially of verse number 58, because when we link all that is seen above that verse to what is in that verse, then we find in that verse the stamina, the encouragement to go on, in spite of the fact we're at a cemetery and the casket is about to be lowered into the grave, and no one likes to be there. But yet this great verse, though, says, "Therefore, because there is the resurrection, because there is the victory, because death is not the end of it for God's people," he says, "therefore, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." There is a reason for the "therefore." The "therefore" is backed by a promise. The "therefore" is backed by a victory. The "therefore" is backed by the Lord's resurrection and our guaranteed resurrection. So he puts it all together. He says now, take all of that precious truth and just hang in there and be faithful and keep doing what you've been doing. Don't let the issues, the knocks, the bruises, the ups, the downs, the disappointments, even the deaths and the grievous things happen. Don't let that cause us to do less than what we're doing, to be less than what we are, to just continue to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what he's saying there. Let me read the verse. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let me borrow that thought, always abounding. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Here's what I also would like to point out tonight. The therefore links the verse to the victories that we read about in the previous verses. And then the verse ends by challenging us to understand that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our labor, it sometimes becomes hurtful, becomes strenuous, becomes burdensome, especially when you have the grievous experiences of people dying in our families. But he says, the therefore would remind us of what has happened, what Christ has done, and then also we can know that what we're doing is not in vain in the Lord. So the truth of that verse is phenomenal. And I want to talk about it just a few minutes this evening before our service is over. But let's pray. Our Father, we thank you tonight for, Lord, the good service that we've had. We thank you so much for the wonderful testimonies of praise that have been given out this evening by your people in this church that appreciates the goodness of the Lord and appreciates the family of God and appreciates the blessings, the faithfulness of God. And Lord, these words tonight have redounded to praising the Lord and exalting the name that's above every other name. And we thank you, Lord, tonight for that. And then we appreciate the good music this evening. And help us now as we end this service tonight to do so on a positive, upbeat note, realizing that we have every reason in the world to just hang in here and keep being faithful, keep loving you, keep serving you, keep laboring, and not to be sidetracked or deterred because of issues that happen within our lives and because of what we see around us. Lord, help us tonight to be motivated by the victory over the grave. And help us to be motivated tonight by the thought that what we're doing is not in vain. So Lord, bless us now tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I do remember years ago, we used to, in the schools that I attended, we would always have what we called then, I don't know if schools still have them, but we used to have a pep rally, which basically normally took place before a ball game. And everybody would get together, the school would get together, and we'd have a pep rally, and we would really be encouraging the team to do its best, and everybody would get all pumped up and ready, you know, for the great game that was about to be played. But we had a pep rally. And I see somewhat of that here tonight in this verse. Maybe we could call this the pep rally verse. I think we all need a pep rally verse, don't you? You know, I know for a fact this evening that every single one of you, and myself included, we deal with things in our lives sometimes that momentarily knock us off balance. We may have a bad day physically. We may have a sickness going on. There may be pressure coming at us from our job. Maybe sometimes it's a discouragement coming at us from someone that we have a lot of respect for. And then sometimes, unfortunately, it seems like all of these things just swoop down on us at one time. You know, it'd be a whole lot easier dealing with life sometimes if things would come in singles. But sometimes they come in duplicates, or they come in triplets. You know, we had a little bit of a joke going on, Brother Calvin and I. You know, I appreciate, and here's a blessing. Carol and I today had lunch with Brother Triplett. Have y'all met Brother Triplett yet? Brother Triplett's been attending our church. He's from Pennsylvania. He loves our church. He's out of a good independent Baptist church. Actually, he's from around Pittsburgh, but he's out of a good independent Baptist church around Wilmington. And he says, I appreciate this church. He said, I believe God's led me here. And he says, I'm right on line with the doctrine of that church. He says, it's old-fashioned. And he said, and to be quite honest with you, Pastor, he said, I'd like to join your church. And so, you know that, and we were able to talk with him, and he's got a great background, and probably you're going to see Brother Triplett coming forward pretty soon and joining our church, and I just thank God for that. But Brother Calvin always has to get smart about things, you know. When I told him his name was Triplett, he said, well, who are his two brothers? But y'all treat Brother Triplett right now when he comes in, okay? Of course, I know you will. But it's a blessing, though, that regardless of who people are, what their backgrounds are, they may come from different states, but because of the precious Savior, there is a commonality, there is a kindred spirit, and people sense that. And we have so much to be thankful for, do we not? I believe we need to have a pep rally. I believe this evening we need to not become half-cocked at what we're doing. I believe we need to keep our encouragement. I believe we need to quit listening to people so much many times and start listening to God more. I believe we need to just pull from the resources that we already have many times. I mean, what we've heard this evening was a tremendous testimony meeting. We're talking about people giving testimony that have been saved for years. And here's what I want to say tonight. Every single one of us, like that old song says, we've come too far to turn back now. We really have. We've already crossed too many bridges. We've gone too far with God now to sign off. And besides, the Lord's been good to us. And let's determine tonight that we're going to heed the words of this pep verse, pep rally verse, and be steadfast, and be unmovable, and keep on abounding in the work of the Lord. Let's not go off half-cocked like the Mayberry Band did that time and went to Raleigh. You remember that, and the mayor about had a heart attack when he heard to pull it out of town. So we need a pep rally. We need to hang in there. We need to keep our resilience. We need to understand it's not over. We need to realize there's more ahead of us than what we have behind us. We need to understand tonight that victory has already been accomplished, and victory is being accomplished, and victory will always be accomplished because we happen to be on the winning side. And we need to understand that. Franklin Roosevelt said one time, I admire people with resilience. When you come to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on, he said. Now, but here's a caveat to that truth. Yes, it's good to tie a knot, but there's one thing more important than tying a knot. We need to know what the rope is attached to. I mean, you know, you can have two people in the water that have fallen off of a boat. And if you throw a rope into those two men that are struggling in the water, and you tell each one of them to take the end of the rope and hang on, you get the point. It's not going to help them. That rope needs to be attached to the boat. And so this evening, we can understand that we can hang on to the rope because the rope is secure. It's secure. And this verse says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The rope is fastened. The hanging in there does not depend on our ability, but it depends on His ability. You see, the rope is secured. Our anchor holds within the veil, in fact. And that's even more important to me. The child of God has a right to hang out or hang on because we hang out with the right person. The world says many times, and the world doesn't think it through when it makes a statement. The world says, well, just hang in there. But many times, many people that are told to hang in there don't know what to hang to. But we have something to hang to because we have a someone who is holding us. Hang in there. If I understand the Bible right, actually translates this way. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. That's the best way to hang in there. Now, could I illustrate my point? The Bible's full of people that hung in there in the right way. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego hung in there, didn't they? Daniel in the lion's den hung in there. Paul, when he was shipwrecked, hung in there. Peter, after he went through a bout with his episodes, he learned to hang in there. Thomas learned to hang in there. On and on we go of people that learned to hang in there. And I think this evening we need to learn that, don't you? Psalm 66. Let me just throw some verses at us tonight that are hang in there verses. Psalm 66. But thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us up out of in a wealthy place. He brought them out of Egypt into the land flowing with milk and honey. Actually, it was what happened. Psalm 40 is a hang in there psalm. Said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Pit out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He's put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Psalm 40 is a hang in there psalm. It may pay us to read it more often. While most people say, hang in there and depend on yourselves, that's what they're saying. Hang in there and depend on yourselves. Most of the time that people tell us, hang in there, they're implying and depend on yourselves. But we tonight know that we hang in there and depend on the Lord. You know, there is not a one of us tonight that's capable. None of us are capable of really being a sole support for each other like we all need. Every one of us have the potential of failing each other when it comes to support, to encouragement. Our words at the best will still not totally get the job done. Oh yes, don't you appreciate good friends? We all do. Praise the Lord tonight for friends. Like Carol said tonight, the friendships that we have developed in this church over the years, I no longer look at this church as my congregation. Could I let you in on a secret? I don't view this church as my congregation. I view this church as my family. Amen. And that is true. But you know, here's the point though. Every single one of us still lack the capacity and the ability to be the sole helper, to really be the greatest strength to one another. We have got to learn to hang in there by hanging on to the Lord's word, by trusting Him. We are going to fail each other and let each other down. But when the Bible says, therefore be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, there is a basis behind that hang in there. There's a reason behind the be steadfast. The reason is because of the victory that's already talked about in those previous verses. And the reason is because of the promise in that verse that says we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So when we have the resource of God in His Word, we have the greatest incentive to hang in there. If for no other reason, your eye should hang in there. It's because God loved us, and God saved us, and God's been good to us, and God tells us to lovingly keep serving Him. If for no other reason, that ought to be enough. When our foundation beneath our feet sometimes drops out, and when we're overwhelmed with issues that come into our life, learn if you can to simply realize that it's never so bad, but what God still isn't here. And God still loves us. And God never gives us any justifiable reason to bail out of the boat on Him. Hang in there. Hang in there. Now, verses 57 and 58. I'm rambling tonight, intentionally so. Notice, steadfastness depends on victory. Look at the verse. What does 57 say? Well, what does 55 say? What does 54 say? I mean, 54 says death is swallowed up in victory. 55 says, O grave, where is thy victory? 57 says, thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory. I mean, victory keeps showing up. And that in itself is a blessing. Steadfastness depends on victory, and victory is through the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore, through our Lord Jesus Christ, we can claim that victory, we can live in light of that victory, and we're able to hang in there because of the victory. Again, keep in mind, verse 54, verse 55, verse 57 talks about victory, and then verse number 58 says, take that thought and run with it. You've got the victory. So hang in there. Be steadfast. Victory dominates the chapter. You know that. It dominates the chapter. Verses 1 through 3, we see the victory of Christ's finished work. We see the victory over the grave when you read the chapter. We see the victory over death when you read the chapter. And that victory is handed to the child of God on the golden platter of grace. Then he says, hang in there. Hang in there. Now, I'm going to close out this way. I'm going to use some simple points. We need to hang in there because of our calling. Do you hear what I said? Because of our calling. Look at chapter 1 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 1, you realize that chapter 1 can be linked to chapter 15? In fact, you know that there's no isolated verse anywhere in the Bible anyway. It all laps together. Verse 1 says, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother. Sosthenes, our brethren. But now look at chapter 15, verse 1. It says, moreover, brethren. We ought to hang in there because of our calling. We are brethren. What does that mean? That means we're God's kids. We're children of the Lord. What a great reason to be steadfast because of our calling. We're called. We're God's people. And it's unthinkable that God's people would consider bailing on God. Our calling is reason to hang in there. Number two, let's hang in there because of our conquest. Because of not only our calling, but our conquest. Brethren tells us our calling. The conquest is in the word victory. Verse 57, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. The victory giveth us the victory. That's interesting. That's interesting because it's in the present tense. Doesn't say he gave the victory, but he did. It says, who giveth us the victory. I don't see anywhere in that verse it reading something like this. He's giving us the victory while we're on top of the issue. He's giving us the victory while everybody speaks well of us. He's giving us the victory when my health is good. He's giving us the victory when I just got a good doctor's report. Doesn't say that, does it? He giveth us the victory. That victory is in a present tense. That victory is right now. Regardless of our state, our status as a Christian, regardless of the burdens that we might be going through, God gives us the victory right now. You have victory, and I have victory even in our weakness, even in our confusion, even in our depression, even in our physical issues. We still have the victory. The victory didn't end when we got sick. The victory didn't end when a friend turned on us. The victory didn't end when the pressures overwhelmed us. We still have the victory. Now, we believe it or we don't. but it's in black and white. There it is. Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory. No wonder we ought to hang in there. We ought to hang in there because of our calling. We ought to hang in there because of our conquest. Victory. We ought to hang in there because of a command. Be steadfast. Any command from the mouth of God is met by sufficient resources to carry out the command. The command is good enough reason. God says hang in there, and that ought to be enough. Because a command is backed by resource. Do you think for a moment the Lord would ever tell us to do anything He didn't back it with a resource? He wouldn't, would He? There's always going to be grace to match the need. The will of God never carries us where the grace of God won't supply us. So we hang in there because of a command. You know, my friend, this evening, God help us to be more command-orientated than inspiration-orientated. Here's what I mean by that. We need to be more command-orientated than emotionally-orientated. What do I mean by that? It is easy to serve the Lord when things are going good. But God does not say, just serve Him when things are going good. The command still is in place. We need to be orientated by thus saith the Lord. In reality, no one of us tonight have any reason to be less than a Christian than what we are tonight, or what we know we should be. Maybe we're not up to par this evening, but we need to get up to par, let's say. There's never any reason to slack up on God. We still have the command, be steadfast, unmovable. There's no qualifier at all. Just do it. Could you imagine the amount of Christian growth that would take place if we'd get command-orientated more? Amen. Just do it because God says to do it, whether I feel like it or not. Just do it. Because it's a command. I'm not under the Ten Commandments. I'm under about 1,000 of them, aren't you? Bible's full of commands. Here's a command right here. Be steadfast. You know, we think, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. We think of the 10. That you think the commands are limited to 10? Be steadfast is a command. We ought to hang in there because of our calling. We ought to hang in there because of our conquest. We ought to hang in there because of the command. And we ought to hang in there because of the confidence. Verse 58, and I'm done. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, you know, you know, you know. How many more times am I going to have to repeat this until it sinks in? You know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know. We have every right to say, I know that my labor is not in vain in the Lord because it's in print. Confidence. We can be confident in what we're doing. Confident that we're doing the right thing, and then confident that God's going to bless us for doing the right thing. So tonight, in closing, read my lips. Hang in there. Let's pray. Father, thank you this evening.